Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer county. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
People call the madam, I call the pimp a pimp, though.
What you call it still? You call it the pimp a pimping?
Yeah, the pimp a pimping. You know, the pimping is pimping. And she was pimping all over the world. What's happening? Her name is Nevis Godini, and she's right now with us live all the way from Switzerland. Am I right?
Yes, that's right. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Hey, what's happening? Sure. What's good? What's good? Is it cold over there?
It is. It's November, so it's kind of like New York weather.
Yeah, I've been to Switzerland about two or three times, so I know it get real cold over there. So I'm just checking in on that weather. So I know COVID right now, nobody traveling, but usually I'll be overseas around this time traveling. And Switzerland is one of my spots I usually hit.
All right, Zurich.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
No, for sure, for sure. So we got a lot of stuff to go through. You were what they would call a madam, am I correct? Would that be a correct assumption?
Yeah, that's right. Madam, I ran an escort service and events and stuff, parties, private parties, special parties.
Special parties? What went on at those parties? A lot of freakiness?
In the States, they're not so freaky like over here in Europe, because over here I had a brothel, an S&M club, sadomaso, and the escort service. So in the States, it would usually be the Wall Street guys. 10 guys get together and I have to figure out some new special ways of, you know, entertain them.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So S&M, for the people out there that's kind of square that don't know what S&M is, that's, what does it mean? Sadomasochism?
Yes,
torture?
Exactly. Sadomaso. So basically, the woman can be the domina and dominate the man or the other way around.
Mm.
Oh, wow. That's some freaky shit right there.
You know, that's some real life shit. Shit you usually see on a porno or some shit like that. You motherfuckers usually really acting shit out like that. That's some crazy shit.
Is that something like putting candles on your nipples and shit?
That's vanilla right there. But it's, yeah, I mean, pain is pleasuresome for some people, right? But there's different ways. And I've learned a lot about it as well. I'm not a domina, but I ran the club over here. So I had to do all the courses because the police controls it, basically. You got to do a diploma and you got to get the license for it. So I have to give first help. So if someone is bleeding profusely, like, you know, I have to help them, you know, that they don't die.
Bleeding?
Yeah. And it has to be very sanitary.
How do you form like how do you get into building a client base, or, you know, building or getting the girls or whatever? What is the method to building a successful establishment like that?
Right. First of all, I had different websites with different ways like to be on Google. Then, of course, you have different sites where you can promote. And then I have very good girls because I give the girls more than anyone else. So, for an example, everything that's extra that goes in the girls' pocket, and I ask them even to charge extremely high. So I have better girls than others, and client service is very important to me. So I'm not just taking any girl. She has to be always very polite, very clean, very pretty, know what she's doing. And the clients just know they can rely on it. There's not going to be a girl who tells them, like, hurry up, or whatever. It's not happening, you know. So with that, you can definitely build a client base. The girls look like the ones on the pictures, and the service is good. So that way you can build a network.
So pretty much it was a lot of faking going on, a lot of fake moaning and stuff, because they were with these old fat dudes. They wasn't putting in no work, so it was just a lot of faking. They made them feel like real men, and basically that's what you're saying, right?
Definitely. But, you know, some people, they really are into it. So it's like, and that's something I want to bring out now in the movie and in my documentary. So prostitution always sounds like it's dirty and it's disgusting, and the women who do it have to do it. A lot of women, they actually want to do it because they might want to make $1,000 an hour. And I think a lot of them want to, and they're on free will. Like, no one tells them what to do or how to do it. They can come and leave as they please. I just have very simple rules, you know, that they have to go by. But it's an environment that, you know, women can make a lot of money, and they are safe there because I have safety ways, you know, how I protect my women.
Yeah, so, you know, I want to – go ahead, James.
Well, I just want to know how you got into it, being a small woman and a very dangerous business. You know what I'm saying? How did you survive?
In the prison?
You know, we're in prison and just running a business like that. What happens when you get a man that's drunk, full of himself, and not liking the service? How do you control that,
right,
being a small woman?
Yeah. So this is the thing. I have security people around me if there's really like a danger. Usually it's just a driver that's a security. But what I usually did is if a guy didn't want to pay, usually they have to pay up front anyway. If there's any issue, I would go by and I would never say, I'm the one who run it. I'm the messenger. So I never said I'm the one who runs it, because what I'm going to do if someone wants to, like, you know, do something to me, they can. I always say, well, I'm just a messenger. I give you your money back. But when my boss is coming back from Russia, his name is Ivan or Igor, you can deal with him. So it's fine. And usually these guys who pay all this money, they don't want to deal with that. You know, because, you know, they have usually a certain position, or if they hear Russia or the Russian mob, they always they back off. And usually, right, you know, even the police don't even know it, because I wouldn't tell people I'm the one who runs it. I just always say, well, the boss is coming in, do this, do that. Or, you know, if not, he's going to be mad. And there was never no one around. So, but that way I kind of had it off my back. You know, people want to do something. And then at the same time, if someone wants to call the police, they can. I just said, then we're all going, because it's illegal for you too. You know, and a lot of people have positions, they can't afford that.
Yeah, so you pretty much play mind games with them then.
Yeah.
That's what it is, you know, and that's what I want to do. James touched on a good point. I wanted to go back to the beginning. So you started off in New York City, right?
Right.
Take us back to the beginning, how you got in the game.
Right. So when I came to New York first, I was 20 years old with no visa, just a tourist visa. And I was selling watches for a Swiss company. And that company moved to Hong Kong, and I didn't want to go there. So I thought of, like, how can I pay this apartment? Because I lived in the Diamond District. It was $3,000 a month, the little apartment, and it was cash. So I worked in the strip club for like 3 months, and I figured out the language, like my English got better. And I met a girl that had like these Backpage girls. And she was like, you know, picking them up off the street and giving them housing. So my thought was, how about I start networking? I know a lot of Italians already. So I will go to Cipriani's and all these places. I start picking up girls. And then I had this one thing, like they had a lot of apartments in their Diamond District, but there was actually an office building. So I rented all the apartments and putting girls from Switzerland that already worked in a brothel. So they know how to work. And they had a 3 month. So I changed them all the time. Then Airbnb came up. I got different IDs. rented these, like every month I changed the place, and I went out to network. And I just gave out a card. And then one guy, says, oh, it was an amazing, it was great women. There's another friend, you know, like word of mouth, basically. And with that, I built it up within like 9 months. Had girls. I had just, it was getting busy, but I was always out like 6 days a night. I was playing golf. I went to the charity event. I went to cigar bars, you know, where all the, let's say, old rich men, are. Then Wall Street came in, and Wall Street was Friday to Sunday throwing. So, and then I had some Arabs, and then I had international clients. So it was building it by itself slowly and kind of fast as well, because I was 20 when I started. And by 22, I was pretty much, established. So I figured out the game. But how I got into it is really my best friend. She was working since a young age because she really loves this job. And she was making so much money. And in the strip club, I would just give her clients and she would give me a commission for it. And I saw my talent is talking. Just talking people out of their money. But that way I was seeing, okay, what do guys don't like? So they call escort services and the girl is ugly. Maybe she don't look right. She stinks. She doesn't know what she's doing. And then I had in professional women, they look beautiful. They don't care. They work and they will do their best. So I started doing it like that. Then my friend, the Italian guy, he had a model agency. So all these models wanted to make money. And then I had some college girls. I started getting into the politicians. I had one that basically trusted me. And then he, gave me a whole lot of more clients.
Straight out of California. It's the Gangster Chronicles with James McDonald, Steel and MC8.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
Steel, James, 8, y'all niggas better give me my $5. I put that on the set. I need to go get me some water mirror. My motherfucking feet fucking with me. Gangsta Chronicles my ass. Pay Granny her money. This Gangsta Granny. Y'all know me. Where you at?
So that way, I established myself pretty nice at a certain time. At the same time, I was working in the music business because I really wanted to manage and book tours. So I did. I booked some people for overseas, and I did an internship at Sony. And yeah, in the music business, I just gave them drugs and women for favors. So that way, I got favors from all kinds of people, and they know they don't mind if I come to the studio and bring them drugs, right? I mean, they. I'm not going to rob them. I'm not going to film them. I'm always reliable. So we became friends, you know, so friends, favors. And that way it worked out pretty well for me in the beginning.
Really? I know what you said. Go ahead, James.
No, so how did you wind up in prison?
Well, this is the thing. My mistake was I saw, especially in Wall Street, everyone wants to get high. So I had a guy that I would just send to the client and he would make money and whatever. I didn't want anything from that. And then he started getting unreliable. And if I don't have drugs by 5, 6 a.m., he's going to maybe do an hour instead of 10 hours or a day or 2 days. So I got myself a connect in New York and I just started buying my own drugs and bringing it to the clients. But I wouldn't even like, I didn't mix it up. I didn't like really, even said, if you do 3 hours, I give you 2 baggies for free. I don't care. Right, it's just you have to take the woman and book her. So I got even better connects and better connects. So by the end, I was pretty much by the first connect with the Colombians. I was with them, and I would still then not touch the stuff. I would just bag it up, give you 1.1, 1.2 for free or 400, you know, whatever. So and then I had, of course, other friends. They wanted to have some stuff. So with time, I was probably selling like almost a kilo a month, just with little baggies here and there, you know. And how I got into prison was someone that I called a big brother. He's a former bad boy associate, let's say. He goes by the name of Uncle Paulie, ex-bodyguard. He set me up, unfortunately, with the feds.
Hold on. Let's go back. So Uncle Paulie from Bad Boy turns you in.
Well, what happened is this. I was extremely naive. I trusted him. Didn't understand snitching. Didn't understand the streets at all, right?
Right.
So basically he said, I need a favor. And I said, I can't do you the favor. I can't give you a connect because they won't like talk to you. They only talk to me because I'm really reliable and I'm engaged to somebody. So in the end of the day, I will do the drop, but I do it only once. I do one favor for you and I can't do it after. Because it's not, I was afraid to be robbed because I didn't know then I'm going to be, or I maybe get beat up or something. So I said, I do one drop and I sold it to undercover DA. Introduced me to, and of course there was the, you know, and I was in shock. I'm like, why are they coming up on me like that? I was on we were in a sushi spot on the Upper East Side, like a fancy place, and we were sitting down and he says, I have the money, really loud, and I packed the drugs up like a gift. It was right after Christmas in 2012, and when he said that, I just saw he was shaking. And then I turned around and I see the lights, and it was like, you know, the whole DA, the FBI, NYPD, they all turned up. And they just, you know, I was like, they were not here for me. So I'm trying to walk out. They're like, no, we got you. So they put me in handcuffs, read me on my rights. And I just know when someone reads you your rights, that's a bad sign. So I'm like, yeah. So then they went to my house. They knew just everything that he basically knew. But at that point, I still didn't know it was him because I didn't know the snitching. It's not even possible over here. It doesn't work like here, like that, you know. So then when I saw the whole thing came further, like, you know, I went into the courtroom and stuff. I had no co-defendant. So the guy was always a DEA undercover. He was there as well with the, you know, when we had all these talks with the DEA. So they wanted me to snitch. And at that point, I think for me, even I'm not from the streets, but it's just I fucked up and I take the blame. So I took the blame from everyone in the house because it was my house on top of that. And, you know, and the DEA. He told me, like, you're going to do 25 years. You're 24 years old right now. You're going to do 25 years. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to get a lawyer, you know. So in the end, they had to, like, throw out a lot of stuff from the arrest because it wasn't correct. So I was blessed in disguise, but I still had to do time. You know, I definitely had to take a deal at one point, and I couldn't go to trial because I would lose, you know.
Right.
And he never got arrested, Uncle Paulie. And, of course, I mean, on my part, my side, no one got arrested either. So I just took the blame. And I think he counted that I would snitch. you know, so that he would be out of the thing. And while I was in prison, a lot of people came up to me and told me, like, he's known for, and it's not, I'm not here to retaliate or, like, you know, I just feel like people who deal with him right now should at least know that they're not doing the same thing that I went through. That's the only thing I really want to do.
So he basically introduced you to the undercover.
Yes. And he never got arrested. He would know, right? And he would have gotten arrested for conspiracy, but he never did. And of course, my fiance got arrested as well. And when he came out, because I took the blame, he went to him and he said, well, things happen like that, but now you have to make money. You want to do another deal tonight? I can hook it up for you. Nobody from the streets would know the guy just got arrested, came out the feds, and he's going to offer him a deal because he knows he will be watched, you know? And my ex, look, he's from the streets. He was a former. He kind of explained it to me how that works. And I was like, I couldn't believe it, you know? But it was definitely clear what it was.
So your fiance walked, you took the time. Did you marry him?
No.
Or did he marry you?
He tried. No, no, the thing is, after time, me getting deported, you know, because I took the deportation that I can do less time, you know. So if it's a nonviolent crime, I can do 2 years and I get deported. And over here, the law is so lenient, you know, I'm free. So I took that instead of doing a whole lot more time. And after that, he got another little charge. He couldn't leave the country. So then we're looking at 3.5 years not seeing each other, you know. So, but we still got friends to this day.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you know he had a solid one. He had a solid one on his team. And for you to take that time and do it, but then they deported you, right?
Right. But what was the best thing for me to do? Imagine I'm doing all this time, probably still get deported, or I'll be stuck in the States and I can't get nowhere, you know, being a felon. Yeah, I don't know. So I'd rather come back here because Switzerland is good. It's not as much fun as the States, but it's a good country, you know?
Right.
Let me ask you a question. So like James said, you're not the toughest person in the world. You know what I mean? You're a woman, you know what I mean? You look like a model, you know what I'm saying? So
welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee. or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
What's the weirdest thing that you ever seen? Like, what's the thing that freaked you out the most working in a brothel? Like, what's the freakiest thing you ever had somebody ask to get done to them?
In the States or here in Switzerland?
I know in Switzerland, either place.
Everybody, yeah, it probably some different shit going on in Switzerland.
Yes.
Yeah, like in Switzerland.
In Switzerland, someone asked me if I could get a rat that's alive that someone can put there in his bottom. And I said no, because the rat could kill him when the rat is in his bottom. So I couldn't do that. But it was like the weirdest stuff, because he knew he would die, and I don't want no dead body in my brothel.
So somebody
hey, what's that guy? Hey, Nora, what's that guy? The singer with the big mouth? Is it Mick Jagger? I don't want to say, I don't want to get the name wrong, but right. He had gerbils put up his ass.
I think that was an actor.
Was that Richard Gere?
Yeah, I think that was the actor, dude. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, it's the same thing as a rat, but who in the fuck want a gerbil up their ass? But anyway,
people do weird shit, man. You would never know, man. There's some crazy motherfuckers in the world. I mean, because we see it every day. I mean, you catch it on the news a few times. I mean, you got motherfuckers who kill people, kill kids, do some just weird shit. But you know, when it comes to sexual shit, there's some weird motherfuckers out there.
Hey, call me weird because I was introduced to the candle shit. And I told the chick, you ain't finna just pour no hot wax on me, motherfucker. Hey, well, I'ma tell you, boy, that shit had me so right, pouring that wax on my nipples and shit. I was in it.
My nigga James said, shit, I got introduced to that hot candle wax. It was crack.
Oh, yeah. And you know, some women like to be choked. You know what I'm saying? And I got a kick out of that type of shit. Choking you while I'm fucking you. You know what I'm saying? And it was different. And it was cool. It was cool. So going into that, and then, you know, you can go and have a woman do what you desire, what your pleasures are.
I guess everybody got their pleasure meters, my right. Nigga, you know what I'm saying? And it goes to what level that your pleasure meter reaches, you know, because right. you can get yourself into some different kind of shit when it comes to that's a little bit far out of reach, you know what I'm saying? I'm a regular nigga, so, but you know, some of that shit is far out of reach, but it all depends on what your meter is for a regular motherfucker where you could go. You feel me?
Right.
So what you say, niggas, right. You call it a vanilla, right? You said this real vanilla, huh?
And that maybe is a little bit, when someone says I'm freaky, I really want to know what freaky is, because the level that I see as managing all these brothels, there's a level to it. There's different ways of from woman to man to like dominate. And I think some guys, they get addicted to get dominated. I mean, the number one thing in Zurich, Switzerland, is not getting peed on, is getting the girls basically feed the guys their own shit. And I'm saying... A lot of guys are into it, young, old, black, white, Spanish. It's, I don't know what it is, but it's kind of, you know, and they have to sign a form because in case they catch hepatitis or something, I don't want to be responsible for it because I can't test the women every day, you know, they just have to get tested. But that's like the new thing, I guess. And it's
so
expensive.
It's people over there in it eating shit?
Yeah. Whoa. So, you know, for me to date, I have to do a background check on every brothel where they've been, maybe to find out.
Let me ask you this:
too fucking extreme, man. Come on, Steele, that's too extreme.
Yeah, so that's crazy, man.
You know.
Let me ask you this:
you know, Norm, before I lose this, let me say this: the cool thing about this whole goddamn concept is that these men go to these places, and then after that, they go home to their wives.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy, ain't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Lord have mercy.
So basically, motherfuckers can come in, sign a consent form, and as long as they sign that consent form, whatever level they want to go through, they go to.
Well, it depends on the woman as well. A lot of things, you know, I mean, for me, they can always choose what they want to do and not want to do, you know. So that's the first thing. Respect has to be right, especially when a man dominates the woman, because then it's spanking and then it's hitting, but it's no hitting in the face. And there's levels of hitting. There's like, it's basically called slavery over here. There's soft slavery, medium slavery, and hard slavery means until you bleed with the weapon. And they, but the girls that I had to do that was only like two or three, and they're really into it. But they have pleasure in that. But I have, of course, a girl that's a nurse there, and they just have to know what they do. But you never know how far they go into it. So there's like a bell we have, they compress. So it's just, I didn't really like getting into that, because you never know if someone had in or does too much, you know. With the choking, it's the same thing. It's not even that serious, but you know, some people maybe they lose themselves in that moment.
You never know when a motherfucker might go overboard.
Right.
Yeah, you know, going off of what James said, by being in that lifestyle that you were in, you know, being a madam and everything, how hard is it for you to have a normal relationship? Because you probably look like at every dude like they're a piece of shit, kind of.
No. I don't have a bad reception of men at all. I just say, like, I know what I like and what I don't like, and what kind of men I like and don't like. But I wouldn't judge, right? But if a man likes to eat shit, I probably don't want to be with you. And I'm like, right? No, it's just hard today, because I just know men really well. So it's like, if you're trying to, like, you can't bullshit a bullshitter. That's just the one thing. So, and you know, to me, it's more hard to date someone that can teach me something in life. It's not about money. I make my own money. But can you teach me something, bring something to the table that I get further and I can further you? Because I always pull up people, which I love doing. I love helping. But I think it's more that, because it's unattractive to me if I always have to help and you can't teach me nothing. I think that's a little bit more.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia, starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
That part.
Oh, so you're more into the mental space of a man, and you're not even really tripping up the physical stuff no more then?
No. Physical has to be right. But I'm saying if you're dumb and you're lame, I'm not going to be attracted to you. Now, if you're intelligent and you have something going on, it's going to be more attractive anyway. But of course, physical has to be right.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Outside of the freaky stuff and everything else like this, I know you're not going to name names, but did you have a large celebrity clientele?
Large, I wouldn't say large, definitely a few, but I would say more like politicians, Hollywood, Wall Street. Mm. The more like businessmen that are famous, but like celebrities a few. And yeah, but nothing freaky with the celebrities.
Just real vanilla, huh?
Yeah, and in the States, they're
very... Nothing wrong with vanilla. Vanilla is good.
Wrong with vanilla. I think I'm a vanilla dude, you know what I mean?
I don't really care about it, so I just want more money. So the more they spend, the freaker they are, the better for me, because I get half.
If we came down there, how much money we got to bring?
Bring your bank account.
I think I'm going to be pouring wax on myself. I'm going to be burning candles on me. Bring the bank account? Oh, Lord.
See, let's go into this right now. So you wound up going to prison.
Right.
And, like, how tall are you? You 5'3", right?
5'2". And 105 pounds. I was back to a little bit more.
How did you survive in prison? Like they didn't try to punk you as soon as you went in there?
Well, this is what happened. I didn't know Rikers Island, never heard of it. So I had a 60-second call after the court that I called my ex. And he's like, listen, you're about to go to a place. Don't talk to nobody. Don't get into no fights. Because he was there for 3 years. And so anyways, I went to Rikers Island and I just went to the flow. And the first thing was I just never got involved in stuff. But if someone comes to test me, I was just acting tough. And I guess if I lost the fight, I lost the fight. But I would not do nothing. That definitely not.
You got in a few confrontations.
Yes, definitely. And I think one chick, she was like 6'2". She was a big hillbilly bitch, if I can say that. And she took a cigarette out of my mouth and smoked it and blew it in my face. And I'm like, give my cigarette back. And she's like, well, then come and get it. I'm like, well, then I told her I'm going to have to beat your ass. And I had to look up like this. And she's like, well, then let's go to the bathroom. So I went there. I'm like, damn, I'm going about to get my ass beat. But she never came to the bathroom. So I was lucky. But
you had to just stand your ground a few times. I mean, that's just life situations. Sometimes you got to stand up to a motherfucker to let them know you ain't scared. Then usually they'll back down from that stand up.
So what right. I think is, and I would just introduce her to the newbies that came in, and she would look out for me. So it was like a little deal, so certain people wouldn't mess with me, you know. And I play basketball, and I'm pretty good at it. So then people get mad at me when I win. I had to, you know, I needed some backup there.
That's right.
Yeah, wow. You know, going back to the Uncle Polly thing, so he just pretty much got away scot-free with everything, you know.
Yeah, but it's just a lot of people know now, and I made a video on YouTube that kind of made its round, and a lot of people hit me up from Harlem, you know, and asked me, like, is that really true? And I said, yeah, I'm not here to lie about nobody, but I feel like people need to know the truth. So then he made that the video got deleted, that his name had to be taken out and stuff, which, well, it is what it is, you know, the YouTube guidelines, but people know. And I just feel like I didn't write the book or the movie's not about him, it's about my life, but I feel like and you claim to be a gangster and this tough dude, people should know. And I knew why he set me up. Now it makes all sense. But it wasn't fair because I didn't do deals with you. I didn't go and rob a bank with you. And now we both, you know, I did you a favor, and then you set me
basically,
up.
Basically, he was faced with some shit, and he figured, like, fuck it, let me just turn the feds on to you, so that will get me out of some trouble.
I think he had to do more than just some favors. I think it's a few favors, because I know some people more got arrested that he introduced to me once. It made sense all in the end, right? And then from some people that know him and the surroundings, just told me that, you know, he got caught up in a whole lot of shit, and now he has to basically of the government, you know. But what they offer, like when you messed up, they're gonna offer you, you know, a deal that you have to snitch, the same that they did with me. But I feel like for whoever he is or whatever situation he was in, he took the deal with the feds, I guess.
Oh wow. So let me add, I just can't get over, like this is crazy to me, man. So you didn't reveal none of your names, none of your people that you had, like none of your clients, right? Because they were asking, I'm pretty sure, right?
Oh yeah, they offered me a lot of money for that. But I feel like if someone pays for that, that's discretion, and I'm not putting out no names. Now, when the movie comes out, I'll be working right now on the development. I'm just going to like write around the character, but that you're not going to find out who it is, but you could have an idea, you know?
Right.
Because I'm not going to ask you to reveal no names, because I understand it. But what's the highest level of government that you have as a client?
Government.
Like what's the highest, like a senator or a mayor?
The governor.
The governor?
Governor itself.
Well, you just told it all. Now, who's the governor at that time? That's like...
It depends on what state it was.
Right. It was okay. From somewhere. And then, you know, things change. Like, people have changed positions since then. Because this is many years ago, like 10 years ago about, you know.
So I would guess at that time, that was probably good Giuliani.
Look at
him.
You love just throwing out some shit, man. You just would throw out some shit in a second, huh?
Don't do that.
I said, maybe. I didn't accuse Giuliani of nothing. That's, you know. He's probably getting his freak on.
But when you first started, you said we ain't gonna use no names.
Yeah,
oh, well, I said maybe.
Your ass just come out with it.
I said maybe. I don't know for sure. You know what I mean? I don't think so. She didn't say nothing.
No. I said it's not that. No, Giuliani. No. And again, I mean, I wouldn't say names. The only name that I will reveal is Uncle Paulie.
Right.
Hey, let me ask you this. Now, would you kind of would you consider yourself an expert at sex?
I would kind of consider myself an expert as how to make money with sex.
Pour a little liquor and roll something up. The Gangster Chronicles. We'll be right back.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia, starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
God damn it. This is OG Gangsta Granny, and y'all tuned in to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, nigga. Turn off my goddamn greens. Y'all better not burn up my shit. Hey, motherfuckers.
Okay. Oh, I got you. So you said you were born.
I have a lot of friends that are porn stars, but I can't say that. You know, I probably know more than the average for sure. And I'm more open than maybe the average, but I can't say I'm the best. You know what I mean? I can't say that because I don't know. But when it comes to, when a woman comes to me and she says, I want to make money in this business for like 2 years, I will teach her how to get the most money in the 2 years to save it and invest it, you know? Because you don't want to be 50 and still be selling ass, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be very good.
Yeah,
so
no,
any of the women that you have, do they ever get taken out of this place? Get married, go off and have kids.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my best girl, she paid off 2 houses. There's a lot of money in the bank, and she's getting married now.
That's a good thing.
So it's very, very lucrative.
Right, but I'm saying, like, these women that I want to hire, I want them to have a plan. I don't want them to just hang around and do nothing. Have a plan with that money, because I can't use you for 3-4 years, because everyone saw you at one point, and it's not interesting anymore. I need more girls, new girls. You know, you got to... Just, and then again, I have to think, like, if you're not smart enough to make enough money in that time, I don't want to have you under my girls, because I want girls that can have conversations with you. You can take on a trip, on a dinner, spend time with them, you know? Basically fall in love.
So do you basically, when you get ready to fuck with a girl, do you tell her that there's like a 3-year, 4-year plan, you know, and I'm only going to deal with you for a certain amount of time?
Yes, absolutely. And I tell them as well. And what's the best for them to do it? Because I, again, you know, if I can help out, I help out. But I feel like I know it's best for women not to do this for a long, long time. You know, because you're going to get used to a certain easy way of making money. And then what are you going to do after? You got to invest it. Don't buy bags. Have somebody else buying you bags, you know, or shoes or whatever. Just invest.
So you're really showing them how to Mac then. So let me ask you this. Do you think you could take the average guy, like, do you think you could take the average guy and show him how to be a good, because what you're doing, I really can't call a pimping, because you're sharing the money. A pimp don't really share no money. You know what I mean? So do you think you could show a guy how to do that?
Yeah, but it's harder because the thing is this, I'm a woman, so I'm not seeking a relationship with them. Guys always feel bad for women when they cry or have a problem. They want to help. I don't. I don't feel bad when someone cries. You know what I mean? I'm trying to help them to get a solution. You know, and men, then they get soft. Oh, I'm sorry. And then the relationship starts. Maybe then if there's feelings involved. It could be that there's a guy that's good at that, but you really have to keep your feelings out and you cannot touch that girl under no circumstances. The second you have relations with her, it's over. You're going to be either the pimp or her boyfriend, you know?
Oh, she got game, no.
When you experience and you know what you do, that's how you got to do it. You got to set the ground rules, shit.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. A lot of people say, oh, we friends. So it's the business thing and it's for everyone the same thing, but they will see the success that they have. And women, you know, women who already work in this job, they know how to persuade a guy or, you know, to manipulate them. But you can't manipulate me because I'm a chick. So what are you going to do? You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to have a relationship with you.
So are you presently in a relationship?
No.
Why?
Why?
The last relationship I had was someone a little bit younger than me. And it's just, yeah, I'm going to say that the right way, that's not mean. I just feel like I'm on a different level and I'm over it. Like, you can't do nothing for me. I always have to help and figure out things. And then just stupidity is a turn off. I just can't say it like that.
So you was playing too much of the mama role then?
Right. And I just don't want to be that, you know, but it's not even that. When someone does a stupid thing, and it's not even the cheating part or whatever, right? I'm just saying, if you do something really stupid, and especially for money. Yeah, no, it's a turnoff. You got to be a little bit smarter and think a little bit further. And that was just for me, like the, yeah. And then on top of that, the coronavirus didn't make it easier. So it was just better to, you know. But I'm okay with it, you know, because I have, I work as an HR in an office. I'm a headhunter. I do a medical marijuana business. I have my book and the documentary stuff going on, the movie stuff. So I'm busy.
So you still hustling. So yeah. Tell us more about the book. I know it's called The International Madam, How a Woman Controlled a Worldwide Sex Ring. Right. So you had it going on how many different countries?
Four continents.
Four continents.
Yeah. I had girls everywhere pretty much. And that's like, and they were always, the good thing is they would meet at certain places and they always have pretty girls. So I would say, listen, if you introduce me to the girl, she makes me money, I give you a nice introduction fee. And then they like, you know, they're not really jealous of each other because they feel like, hey, we all pretty girls, we always make money. And it kind of works like that. You know, it wasn't like a beef or nothing like that. Girls have to, you know, behave. Yeah.
You're wild, man. That's an incredible story. So the book is out now, right?
Right. The book is on Amazon, Walmart, and Barnes & Nobles.
Oh, wow. So you
I'm going to have to go cop that.
Oh, yeah.
Give it a read. Man, seems like it's a good read. So I'm going to have to go peep that out.
Yeah, definitely. I would appreciate
it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I'm going to try to take a guess at who that governor was. You know what I'm saying? And you have it there, people, you know.
You know what? If I
still, you want to know who the fuck the governor was, huh?
Hell yeah, little freaky motherfucker. Probably out there breaking all kinds of laws. You know what I mean? And want to change all that shit. Hypocrites.
But this is the thing. The White House has a lot of people that I know that they came in there, went there. Because, you know, and then again, they just all referred me at one point. You know, but I would never, like, tell their name. I have to be honest. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I know you would never tell their name because I bet you I can guess who one of the freakiest dudes in the world. I bet you Donald Trump freed the motherfucker.
He likes girls like his daughter. So that would make a little college blonde girl. Probably. Mm-hmm. Probably some drugs too. I can see that.
Donald Trump in there, man, getting lit up. Donald Trump in there hitting the line, man, and getting some wax melted on his titty.
Maybe.
That candle wax.
Hey, when we edit, we're going to edit this shit.
James said, hey, that's a good experience right there. Fuck that.
That shit feel good. Try it. Just like that motherfucking pour it on your nipple, dog. You'd be like, oh,
God
yeah.
Damn, James. Fuck.
You know what, James? If you come to England, I'll take you to a dungeon so you can just look at it.
Hey, I'm with it.
Right?
I'm with it. Long as it ain't got no gerbils and none of that other shit.
None of that, then I'm with it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
so let me ask you, Nate.
Yeah.
Where can people hit you up at? What's your social media?
So my Instagram is @intl, I-N-T-L, madam, with an E in the end. Intl madam. And my Facebook is Gadoni Nives, but it's not, or International Madam as well. It's like the social media. I don't do Snapchat and not really on Twitter.
Okay, email, for sure.
On my website, of course.
What's your website?
www.theinternationalmadam.com.
Internationalmadam.com. There you go right there. She's pimping all over the world, man.
Pimping all over the world, man. Y'all go pick up her book, man. It seemed like it's a good read. You know, I'm definitely going to go pick it up. You know what I'm saying? You probably learn a few things in there, too, for you know what I'm saying? For you cardboard niggas who don't like to experience some shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, take it from James. You know what I'm saying? You might want to experience some shit. You know what I'm saying?
So let me ask you this. How can you tell, like, so you said Donald Trump probably like girls is like his daughter, like that around that age, like college age girls?
I mean, he said that, remember, that he would date his own daughter if he could. He said it in an interview, and I can see that, because this is the thing, I had mostly tall blondes. That's just what most of these guys like in general, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can see him, like, definitely with a girl like that.
That's crazy, man. See, she could look at a motherfucker and tell that they just a just a pervert.
Got to be able to figure a motherfucker out when you, you know, when you in that line of business, you got to be able to figure a motherfucker out. You know, they taste, what they like, what they don't like. You'll be able to pinpoint a motherfucker when you done been around the block a few times.
I mean, the thing is this, I usually just asked, and my idea actually was that I'm still like working on or finishing it. I want to do like a concierge service where people can just request some freaky stuff. No animals, no children, no rape. You know what I mean? That's like the main thing. But they can request that and I will organize it for them, and it's just very expensive. So that was my idea. Because I can run it through Switzerland, which is completely legal with my accounts here. So yeah. I can actually do it all over the world, and there's no money exchange. There's just upfront payment. And that's something maybe I want to do all parties, because I have too much going on already, and I kind of like lost, after the last brothel I sold, I kind of lost the interest in it a little bit, because the price has dropped a lot, and I don't want to take half of 300. That's just, for me, like, it doesn't sound right for me, you know? So right. So different stuff is just happening, especially the movie. I'm excited for that. Like, that's, you know, we're putting that
Do we have a timeline as far as the movie?
The thing is this, I'm right now in writing with some amazing writers from Hollywood. So we're going to see about that. The documentary, we're going to figure it out, because a lot of people have an issue with the fact that I don't look at prostitution as dirty and bad. I look at it bad when it comes to violence and, you know, if they don't want to work, but it's nothing dirty about it, you know, because a lot of women, you know, strip, maybe have sex as well for money, you know, who knows, that, or get married to a rich guy just for the money. And I just think that whole stigma of like women are bad who are in this line of work should just, like, you know, pass by a little bit.
You know what my philosophy is? When you get with somebody, you don't know what they did in their past. The only difference is them girls know what they did and they was open with it. You don't know what a woman was doing before they met you. So right, you just, right. You know what I'm saying? You just in the dark.
Mm. But, right.
You know. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody done had a few skeletons at one point, you know, I'm sure. So, you know, you got to go off of what it is.
Exactly. Girls, they use condoms. There's no way around that. If you maybe have a girl that just goes out to have fun and has, you know, and I don't even care about that because everyone should do whatever they want to do, but they just go out, have fun, not using protection. And then another girl makes money and uses protection. I don't know what's worse, you know? So,
yes, real stuff. Well, it's been really amazing having you on the show. We got to do this again because I'm pretty sure we just only scraped the surface.
Exactly. Yeah.
Definitely. And thank you so much for having me. I love your podcast. So definitely always watch it. And I would like to go again whenever you guys want to.
Oh, for sure. We definitely got you. You know what? We're going to give you a title now. You are official sex consultant.
Yeah, yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely. When we got some freaky questions or still or something, got want to know about some shit or James want to know about some shit, we going to call and get
a phone.
Yeah,
hey, I got a whole bunch of questions to ask.
That's what I'm talking about. So we'll pick them up during episodes when we run into some like some extra after hours shit, and then we'll get into some of that crazy shit.
Well, look, what we should do for the next show, we have her on with two of her girls, and let her girls explain the freaky shit, the kind of shit I want to know.
Yeah. Have them take you through a scenario.
Hands-on shit, yeah.
Domina or a submissive girl, I need to know.
Yeah. James, you got to set it up for what you want, what kind of shit, and then we going to go through it. You going to take you through the scenario.
Maybe he has
I'm writing it down already. I'm ready. If she make me lick my lips, then she talking right.
That's
if I lick my lips like L and shit, I'm ready to do something. Get it right to me.
No, and definitely, you know what I'm saying? For example, if you have an episode and people like talk about stuff, you have a question, just get me in as a consultant.
There you go.
24 hours.
That's what we're going to do.
Sound good.
Okay.
We got you. We're going to set up a paid service. Now, this service that we're setting up, y'all going to be paid. We're going to set up a thing that if you want to ask her a question, you shoot the money through, that Cash App got to come through, that ching ching come through, your question get answered, all right?
Go.
So set that up. We in the game now. We've been taught by the business. We've been taught by the international madam.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. There it is. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much, and you guys have a beautiful day.
All right, you too.
All right, everybody. That's another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles, and this was our first freaky, wet and wild one. You know what I'm saying? Go hit us up, OGGangsterChronicles.com. Follow us on Instagram, the Gangster Chronicles Podcast, and hit the international madam herself up, all right? And we out of here. Peace.
Yeah. Peace.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.